Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us here on this beautiful Thursday. After surviving yesterday.
You're still alive.
It took something to survive yesterday.
You're still alive and kicking. You're fine.
Oh, well, you know what was amazing?
What?
Is last night I left the Scranton event, and I had to go out to the car. Pouring.
Why not? The whole day was like that.
I was like, oh, I just can't. You can't win.
The whole day was like that.
Yep, you cannot win. So, oh well. It's just the way it goes. We're talking about use of instant replay. For a long time, I was somebody who talked about the human factor and so forth and the importance of it. But, you know, after, you know, you watch it in practical application, you know, instant replay, for example, being used in the NFL, for example. I remember one night, it was the first year they had it. The Patriots were playing the Jets, and Al Toon ran a four-yard out. A four-yard out. Okay? And they replayed it over and over and over. And this game was like a 38-7 game. It was just not, it was bad. You know, the game was completely out of hand. Now, why I was watching it at this point, we can debate later. I thought, what are they doing? Show some common sense. There's no need to run this play. It was a four-yard out. And then they dropped instant replay for, I think, a year. Then they brought it back. Now, in the NFL, I don't like at all the use of the hoods and so forth.
I think all that's for show.
Well, no, they're the ones that are looking at it. I mean, you go underneath the hood because you need it to be dark enough so you can see what's going on.
Yeah, but wasn't it originally set up that someone in the booth?
It was in the booth.
Yeah, so yes. Even the hood at that point was for show.
Well, no, it was always done up in the booth originally. And it was always done there. And then they decide we'll bring it back, but we're going to have the referee look at it. Thus, the hood came into usage. That's how that started. College has it right. You know, and when they sit there and they tell you that, you know, they're looking at every play, and I mean, technically they're looking at every play. I mean, technically they are, because every play is going on. Okay, so they do look at it. But let's face it, I mean, not every play warrants a review. Simple as that. You know, and they tell you that. But college, you know, not perfect. I've already pointed out two calls, one that really benefited Penn State and one that didn't benefit Penn State, where going to the booth meant nothing. Well, last night, going, you know, those guys going down and taking a look at it, I'm not in favor of those who are working the game to be the ones that then have to go and look at a replay. I don't want a crew that is working in 100-degree Texas heat and doesn't get any break during the game now to have to sit there and try and focus in on a replay. Because, I mean, I think it's hard enough what they're doing. Okay? That's why I think, you know, you have an $8 billion industry. You can take some of that money and you can spend it. And I don't care if you centralize it and bring all 15 games into a location and assign 30 people to each to look at replays along the way. In the NHL, they centralize it and they do it out of Toronto. In the NFL, they do have a group that looks at plays in the final 2 minutes, but the referee goes under the hood, and in college football, of course, they phone it. In college, the referees stop the game, as do the NBA, and they look at the monitor. That's courtside. They have a meeting before the game with the producers. That way the producer gets to know the referees and so forth. They have that meeting before the game. That way when they could say, hey, look, you know, they don't say who am I talking to or whatever. They say, hey, look, Al, I need to get, because they know that's who they're talking to. They met with them and they talked with them before the game. Okay? But I don't like actual game officials being the ones looking at the replays. I'd rather have somebody that's looking at it the entire time, and that's their job, is to look at it and lock in and concentrate on it and have them do it. I don't know what your thoughts are. Our number is 800-795-9565. That's 800-795-9565. If you would like to jump in and like to hear your opinion.
I just can't imagine, as you said, anybody thinking this was a good idea to have those. I thought when Major League Baseball first talked about it, they were going to have somebody somewhere in the stadium looking at the replay and not the Major League Baseball player or official or the umpires on the field. I know that's the way they did it when they were experimenting with it, but I didn't realize that's the way it was going to stay.
Right. Well, first of all, they've been slow to get into all of this. And that's what, you know, what they decided to do. They've been slow to get into it. Baseball in general has been slow to adapt to certain things along the way. Now, I know that people talk about, you know, baseball having its own pace and so forth. Absolutely, and I agree with that. But there are also other things that they need to be better at to improve the pace of their game just a bit. I mean, they just have to be. And the other part that they have to be better at, without question, is I think you need to add in. Some other elements of replay. Buzz in Nori is with us. Hi, Buzz.
Hey, guys. I just got in about 5 minutes ago on this, and I think, you know, in one hand, to be perfectly fair, that everything, you know, is really good, but I just think it takes the human element out of the game. I really would like to see them go back to where there's no instant replays and no calls from off the field. You know, what's next then? Are they going to have a camera on each guy and somebody in the booth saying, oh, he lined up off sides, or he actually fumbled, or are they going to have get rid of the umpire behind home plate and do it electronically and say, oh, that was a strike? I mean, eventually the game's going to be run by robots.
Well, the game is run by humans, and who ends up making the decision when looking at the replay?
I don't know. It doesn't sit with
a human.
Sorry, I can't explain it any better. I just don't like it.
Well, I understand that. I didn't like it initially either, and I was completely with you before. But you know what? You look at calls like last night where they completely fouled it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and I'm.
But
you
that's
know,
the game. It's the human aspect. It doesn't happen to just one team. At the end of the year,
Buzz,
it probably washes.
Buzz, yeah. The guy hit a home run. He hit a home run. In other words, he hit the ball out of the park. Okay?
And
he didn't get it.
I'm not familiar with that one.
It's last night's game, Cleveland and Oakland. That's what this all comes back to. It was last night's Cleveland-Oakland game. You're allowed to review home runs in the major leagues.
I see.
Well, they called it a double. You know, and let's face it, plain eye, hard to tell, left center field. Did it go over the yellow line or not? Okay. Well, on replay, it is obvious it not only cleared the line, it cleared the line by a significant margin, and they still did not give him a home run. Now, does Cleveland lose that game last night? Now, Cleveland won the game 4-3. Does Oakland come back and win that game, even with the home run? It would have made it 4-4. We'll never know. The result may have still been the same. But the kid hit a home run to tie the game up. And he got nothing.
Well, you know, when this first started, you know, originally, I remember years ago in the videotape replays and everything, there was no calls made on it. It was just something they used on television to show you if you missed something. And the scoreboards now and everything, it just seems like every year, electronically, they're chipping away at the game and just taking more and more of the human error out of it. And isn't human error part of the game, of any game? I mean, what's perfect? A no-hitter. That's it.
Kevin?
Well, you know, I understand one of the things Buzz is saying, and here's my take on baseball instant replay. Their replay is for things that are far away from the umpire's view, especially when you're running a four-man crew as opposed to six as they do in postseason play.
Yeah.
So the foul poles are really, really, you know, some of them are as far as 300 and some odd feet away from home plate, let alone from third and first base. So I can understand the help there. I can understand the help over the fence to see where the home run line is. But I agree with you. If the umpire right on top of the plate or right on top of the bag in the right position, I don't want that to be a reviewable call.
Yeah,
I agree with you there.
You know, you hear announcers say almost every game that during football, for example, in pro ball, holding could be called on every play.
Yeah, but penalties are never reviewed, Buzz. Penalties have never been reviewed. In the NHL, they do not review penalties. They only review whether it was a goal or not. In Major League Baseball, they only review whether it's a home run or not.
Okay.
In the NBA, they only review in the final, I think, minute of the game is when they review. And in the NFL, they review turnovers, touchdowns, okay, or inbounds, out of bounds, intercept. That's a turnover. Inbounds, out of bounds, but a penalty is never a reviewable play.
Don't think I knew that. Well, with that thought in mind, if what they're doing now is as far as it's going to go, I guess we'll just live with it.
Well, I think it's become a part of the culture, just like the score box on the top of the screens become part of a culture. You know what I mean? When it was first put in, a lot of people are like, what is this?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm
with you, Buzz. I hope that's as far as it goes, Buzz. I don't want it to really go any further. Yeah. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it, Buzz. Steve,
thank you, guys.
Steve, real quick.
Thanks, Buzz.
Something that just hit my mind wasn't there discussion either in the NBA or college to review three-point baskets that are controversial?
Well, they do review that. That's foot on the line.
Right. Right, but
that's reviewed
all the time. Okay,
you know, it's ever since they've gone on reviews, it's been a part of it. And what the Big Ten does is they review it at when there's a natural break. They don't stop the game to review it. See, that's the difference between the NBA and college basketball. College basketball, and Big Ten in particular, they don't review a 3-point basket, foot in the line or not. They'll look at the table and they'll give them a signal. Hey, look, get the replay ready because when we get the break, we're going to take a look at it.
And the other thing in baseball, when you're talking
that doesn't interrupt the game.
When you're talking baseball, though, there's so many other variables in baseball that if you're reviewing safe and out, that it really becomes a problem. Because let's say you have a runner going to second base, and he's called out, and the runner coming from third to home scores because the second baseman wasn't paying attention, arguing with the umpire on the call, and finds that the call was reversed. Does that runner need to go back to third base? I mean, there's so many different variables in baseball that really scares me if they take replay a little any further than what it already is in baseball.
Look, I think any base or tag play should be a reviewable play. And I think it needs to be challenged by the manager. Okay. Let's face it, what wastes more time? Okay. Having an independent group on a challenge take a look to see if he's safe or out, or having the manager stand there for 2.5 minutes kicking dirt on the umpire. Okay. What wastes more time? I can tell you what wastes more time. Okay, manager out there yelling and screaming and going nuts and turning his hat around and, you know, pulling an Earl Weaver. That wastes much more time. Ken in Milton is with us. Hi, Ken.
Hi, fellas. Good afternoon.
Great to have you with us.
Well, I wanted to chime in here. I don't know if I can call myself a purist or a traditionalist, but I agree 100% with your last caller. I think the human element has always been part of the game. I recall watching baseball as a kid, and, you know, you would watch the replays, and you know what I discovered at a young age and loving the game so much that, quite honestly, the large majority of the time, the guys in blue get it right.
Yes,
and,
they do.
And I'm going to be honest, you know, I agree wholeheartedly. I don't want this to become electronic. And the more that you give, the more that is taken. And the more that people find their lives are going to be made easier, the more is going to be added to it. I don't like NFL games when it slows the pace. I've seen more and more instances, and again, I don't know if it's statistically accurate, but I'm seeing instances where, according to the commentators in the booth, they're not getting it right with replay anyway sometimes in the NFL.
I pointed that out in my two college examples, yeah.
Yes, you did, and I just caught that. Again, it's strictly an opinion, and I realize that it's not going anywhere. I certainly don't want to see it expanded. I agree wholeheartedly. Baseball, football, they're all games of human contact and human error. In the same breath that a shortstop can commit an error on a ground ball, an umpire can commit an error on a safer out call, or even a home run ball. I don't think baseball in the 40s, 50s, 60s, or 70s was any less to watch on TV without replay. I don't see the necessity for it now. But strictly my opinion, and I realize I am in the minority, actually, on this.
Well, Ken, there's one other element. It's an element I don't like to bring up because it's not an element I personally have ever dealt with before and have no interest in dealing with it. But you have a lot of money bet on games.
I understand that. I understand that. And, again, part of the culture that we are now part of. So, again, strictly my opinion, one of the voices,
appreciate
I didn't
it.
Want the guy calling ahead of me to feel like he was all by himself.
Have
a good afternoon,
yeah.
Gentlemen.
Thanks. All right, Buzz and Ken feel that way. What about Dave in Sunbury? Hi, Dave. Thanks for joining us. Great to have you with us.
Hi, Steve. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Okay. Well, I called, actually, about a game that I didn't have any dog in the fight, okay? Kevin did, but he didn't particularly like the outcome. Sunday's game, Philly and the Marlins. I don't know if he paid attention to that one home run that the umpire, the home plate umpire, called it a double. And the guy, second base umpire, when he went out, he started swinging his arm like it's a home run. And the home plate umpire was actually the leader of that particular group. So they put the guy at second base, and then they went to the next batter. The Marlins manager started coming out of the dugout, and he signaled basically to the first base umpire what he thought of it. Okay, so then he walked over to the home plate umpire and said, well, you can clearly see that was a home run. The outfielder, the right fielder for the Phillies, went to the track, but he looked up. And they still were staying working with that double. But then they went to the replay. And they clearly showed it was a home run. He hit on the track, went over the wall, hit on the concrete, and bounced back in to the play. That's where they gave him a ground rule double.
Right.
And if it wouldn't have been for the manager asking for come out and questioning it, they were going to stick with that double. So I just,
Kevin, what are your thoughts? This game, you as he said, you'd have a lot more interest in.
I honestly did not see that particular one, and I'm wondering, that stadium has a lot of weird little issues in the outfield, that make it a little bit unique, and I'm wondering if that might have come into play. I don't know. I didn't see it. I'm just asking.
Well, Kevin, between right center and right field in the corner, it was would be about the 320 line, I'd say, where the 310's down in the corner. It clearly went over the and it bounced back in. But it says, I don't know why the home plate umpire called it a double automatically when it should have been the guys at second base or first base going out to see it. That was the one thing that – so why is he calling that a double?
Well, that all depends on the on how what runners were on base as to what umpire has that call. Yeah, see, that's the real question there, is who has the call because the bases are loaded. At that point, it has to go to the home plate umpire.
Okay, well, I didn't know that one, I'll be honest. But that particular guy hit you for he had 7 RBIs off of you, him alone. He had a grand slam plus a 3-run triple.
Yeah,
that was Doc Holliday's last bad outing. Yeah, I didn't know.
Yeah, they didn't need any help in that game anyway.
You know, I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, there wasn't any help needed there, that's for sure.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. We've been talking about instant replay today after last night's Major League Baseball debacle, in which the A's thought they had tied the game on a home run, only to be told, nah, it's a double. Really? Like that area where the guy is standing with the railing in front of him isn't in the seats? Really? I mean, it really was, I mean, for Major League Baseball, one of those embarrassing days. And love the game, but there's certain things about the game. Look, baseball's falling in popularity. Let's be straight and let's be honest about it. The numbers between baseball and football have become a startling reversal. And it's not just in the TV ratings, but it's in every poll that you see. Now, they'll get a lot of... Now, can you take this too far? Yeah, you can take it too far. No question about it. You can take it too far. Now, we'd never want penalties to be reviewed in the NFL. I think it was Ken. It may have been Ken that said. Ken or Buzz, but I think it was Ken who said, you know what, you can call holding on every play. Well, he's absolutely right. You can. That's why they've liberalized this as much as they can. With the idea that, in terms of how to block. So how do you feel about it? Love to get your thoughts at 1-800-795-9565 on the Hilscher's General Store hotline.
You've always been a fan of the coach having the option to call it. And Little League... In the Little League World Series games, these are the ones played in Williamsport that are televised with 800 different angles. They, several years ago, started using replay, before Major League Baseball did, for home runs and close calls in the at the outfield fence.
Right.
A couple of years ago, they expanded that to now allow the coaches an opportunity for two replays. You're allowed one replay in the first six innings. And you would retain that challenge if you're successful. You would also get another challenge in extra innings.
Right.
And what you could use those challenges for were basically, for the most part, anything. You could look at safe, out. You could look at fair and foul, obviously. If a bag was missed by a runner, and then... And then an appeal play happened. You could actually go back and review that to make sure that that appeal was correct or incorrect, whichever it was. There were a lot of things that they were, force outs, tags, hit batsmen even. You could actually challenge that your batter was hit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Gil Hodges did in the 69 World Series with Cleon Jones, produced a ball with shoe polish on it. Now, whether that was the ball, whether that was the ball or not, we don't know.
World may never know.
But they got the call. They got the call.
So Little League has actually increased its use of replay. Now, keep in mind, that's a volunteer organization there where umpires literally pay their way to Williamsport.
I know.
No matter where.
I spoke to the Little League umpires group a couple of years ago. And I know there was somebody came up to me the other day and asked if I was still open to the possibility of doing it again. I said, sure.
Well, ESPN has about 12 camera angles that they can actually use. In the first 2 years, which I think was 08 and 09, they were used, let's see, twice. Neither of those calls were actually reversed. Now, it's been used a little bit more now that the coaches have the option to make the call.
Look, and I've done games where there's been an absolute overuse of it. And I'm trying to remember what the circumstance was in 2005. But all I know is that when we got to the Orange Bowl, the Penn State Florida State Orange Bowl, they replayed everything to the point where Jack and I looked at each other and thought, okay, what is this? I mean, things that we considered to be simple and easy. Now, look, let's take, for example, something difficult, and that would be the Ethan Kilmer catch. Very difficult. He caught the ball, but they replayed it, and they should have replayed it just to make sure he did catch it. It was called a catch in the field, but they replayed it to make sure he caught it. He did. To me, that's good use of the replay to make sure that it's accurate. But they replayed virtually everything, it seemed, in that game. I think they went to the replay 7 or 8 different times, which after a while, this Ken and Buzz were both pointing out, hey, we're going to become just too much of an electronic deal, which is a very, very fair question to ask. But I think when you limit the number of challenges that a manager has or a coach has, now college football does have, each coach does have a challenge. I've only seen challenges used twice, and each time the challenge was no. Like I said, they're reviewing things up in the booth anyway. So, you know, why bother? But I think when you have challenges, now I think you at least limit the amount of time that can be spent on such things. In the NFL, they aren't stopping the game every 2 seconds for a replay. The coaches have a total of 4 challenges and a max of 6, because if you get your first 2 right, you get an additional one, okay? But that's a max. And I've never seen a game where 6 challenges were used. Never. Never have seen a game with 6 challenges used.
Do you think you should be able to use that challenge if the team on the field, if, let's say you're the defensive team and the team on the field runs into a hurry-up mode knowing they had a close play to try and get the play off before you challenge, should you be allowed as the defensive team to challenge a play even though the next play happened?
Well, you risk losing it.
I understand that. But see, my point is, I think the offense that has the questionable play, that runs to the line of scrimmage and snaps the ball real quick, whatever they decide to do with it, puts the defensive coaches or the head coach of the defense into an unfair situation where they have to make a snap decision before they even get a chance to talk to the people who actually saw the play.
Well, to me, at that point, that's part of the game. You have to make a quick decision. That's part of the game, as far as I'm concerned. Most of the time, most teams are taking 35 seconds anyway. And they have specific coaches that deal with replays.
Well, I've seen the last couple of years with Little League using replay the way you were discussing. And one that comes to mind, I want to say this was last year in one of the games between New Jersey and Texas. One of the players Texas grounded to the shortstop. The shortstop stepped on second to get the force, but he wasn't able to complete the double play. Texas had a runner at first and third with two outs. The Texas coach decided to challenge that, claiming the runner beat the play at second and won the challenge. If he would have won the challenge had the bases loaded, the umpires reviewed the play and confirmed the call on the field anyway. But that is one of those situations where I kind of like the idea. It's like, okay, well, do I want to use my challenge here? Because this may be the only one I get.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, does it put extra pressure on coaches or managers to do this? Yes. But you have to make game decisions anyway. I mean, you have to make decisions every 40 seconds anyway about offensive plays and things like that. So... so I think it's part of what goes on in the game.
And it takes out of play, should I have this reviewed, or should, by the umpires or the officials, should I review this? Should we review this? Is this close?
Right.
I think there's a point to what you're making. You're making a good point.
I think you have a manager, a bench coach, two base coaches. You have enough people there that can decide whether or not,
But if Major League Baseball does it the way Little League has, and you start looking at safe and out now on the base paths.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now guess what? The step across the bag, throw over to first, double play is gone. And I can't tell you how many times in Major League Baseball you missed the bag.
Kevin, it's only gone if the manager challenges
it. You're right.
The manager has to challenge it.
But
And if you get two challenges a game, you better be smart with your two challenges.
You're right. You're absolutely right about that.
So that takes out, to me, the mundane, every play's looked at, and I think that changes a lot of things. That the manager decides he wants to challenge. So instead of having the guy run out like a nut, yell, scream, waste time, the whole thing, what's a bigger waste of time? And again, I want a separate group that's looking at it.
Somebody other than the guys in the field.
The guys in the field. Okay.
I understand what you're saying, but my point is there's going to be seven different times during a game where you can decide, okay, wait a minute, should this be the one I replay? Because he really didn't look like he touched the bag before he turned over to first. There's going to be at least five of those a game on both sides of the
ball. But you have to pick your moment. You only get two choices.
Because you've seen baseball. How many times do they really tag second base in a double play?
But that's part of protection, though. That's a protection thing for the shortstop.
Okay, but let's say I challenge that.
If he didn't touch it, he didn't touch it. If I decide to challenge it, but again, it better be a spot where I need it, because I'm only going to have one left, and if I lose it, I lose it.
We're talking about coaches and complaining about coaches now or managers. What's it going to be like if they have to decide which replay to use and which one not to?
Well, I mean, but look at last night's game. He was in time. Now, he wouldn't have gotten the challenge, but he would have challenged it.
You know where replay has done well?
The NHL.
Well, up until today, which I did not know they were doing it in Toronto, had no idea. Tennis.
Yes, tennis has done very well with it.
Tennis does an outstanding job making sure it's in the service box and making sure it with video replay that it was in or out. And you know what? There's never a discussion. I don't think I've ever seen, and I haven't watched a ton of tennis, all right? I'm going to admit that. But in the times that I've watched major tennis tournaments, I don't think I've ever seen anybody discuss, debate, or dispute after review has been shown on the screen.
Never.
And you know why? Because it's not actually a legitimate video review. It's not like the camera angle. It's computer generated. So you don't have the, that camera angle isn't the best, let's go to this camera angle. I don't know that you can do that for many sports, but I'll tell you what, tennis does a great job of it.
They do. They really do. They do it. And not only that, you never see anybody later say, ah, no, they got it wrong.
Yeah, that's it.
Everybody looks at it and said, okay, it's in. Okay, it's out.
You have a ball, you have a shadow, you have a computer-generated graph of the playing surface. There's never a debate. If the shadow hits the white line, it's in.
Right. And that does that. I mean, it's done. And I never hear any dispute whatsoever about it. And not only that, they do it quickly, which I think a lot of people like. I think a lot of people like the fact that it does not interrupt the match. We'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors is having their 65th annual new Ford truck sale.
65 years of saving.
Choose from over 160 new trucks with savings up to $11,000. The number one selling truck in the world for 36 consecutive years is the Ford F-150. And Sunbury Motors has them on sale as low as $20,954. SMC has a huge selection of hardworking Super Duty trucks, including Super Cabs, Crew Cabs, diesels, and duallys. Sunbury Motors has over 40 of the totally redesigned 2013 Ford Escape, starting from just $20,975. The hot-selling 2013 Ford Explorer is slashed $3,300, with 4x4s priced as low as $29,930. This is Central PA's largest truck sale of the year. Hurry into Sunbury Motors in the Reform Street Auto Plaza during this unprecedented 65th annual May New Truck Sale. Sunbury Motors, proudly serving the Susquehanna Valley for almost a century. Hurry before someone gets your truck.
Straight down the middle. It went straight down the middle. Then it started to hook just a wee bit.
What, did you quit?
I'm right here.
Oh, there you are.
I've been here the whole time.
Oh, okay. You say, just move out. The shore's about to end. He's going to quit.
3-under through 10 is Tiger so far, which is what I was saying.
All right.
And Roberto Castro shot a 9-under 63 today at the Players, which some consider to be the fifth major. So,
Rory is 6-under.
It's always been, oddly enough, the Players, I think Tiger's won there once. I think. It's always been a course that has not really been his kind of deal.
Don't you have to worry about alligators there?
Sure.
Didn't they have an alligator issue there at Sawgrass for
they
one
might
of the majors?
Have. All I know is I had an alligator issue one time down in Florida.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, I was playing at West Palm Beach. Remember Frank Messer, the old Yankees announcer?
Yes.
He was the one hosting the tournament, and I was invited to play. And I went and played. Great guy. First-class guy all the way. And I remember I got to 18, and I hit my ball in the fairway. When I did, what was amazing was that an alligator came out of the pond. Like, I'm like, you have to be kidding me.
I've had that with a squirrel before and a duck. Never an alligator.
And so my ball is down on the right-hand side of the fairway, and then it was another 20 yards until you get to the pond. Well, this thing comes waddling out of the pond, and I don't know, now it's about 10 feet from my ball. I looked at these guys and said, I don't care how many penalty strokes you give me. I'm taking a drop. I am not going down there to get that ball.
You either needed to call Gator Boys or you needed to watch an episode of Swamp People.
Oh, man, it was brutal. I mean, it's... Wow.
Need those Cajun boys to get that swamp, to get that gator out of the swamp for you.
I mean, that was... I remember looking out there and said, I can't believe this.
Now, I've had squirrels. I actually hit a squirrel the one time. Was not happy about it. He literally did take the ball and go home.
Really?
Yes. Took the ball with him. And I did find he did improve my lie by about 30 or 40 yards, so it was good. But we finally chased him away from it. You know how I am with my golf balls. And let's see. I had a duck one time that tried to pick it up and then dropped it back down when he realized it wasn't food. That is not a lie.
I've only had the one alligator incident. So I've never had any other incidences with wildlife.
Hitting the squirrel and watching the squirrel jump straight up in the air, what appeared to be 3 or 4 feet, come right back down, scamper to the golf ball, and then run with it in its mouth. That was the best moment in my golfing.
Wow. We'll be back June 5th, by the way, the Susquehanna Valley Country Club, to benefit our good friends at the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. We're looking forward to it very much. There are plenty of openings in the morning flight. Now, the afternoon flight has 2 openings available, but there are availabilities in the morning flight. Now, we have an entire month to plan if you want to get your group out there to be a part of what's going on. We have a great time every time we go. We're going to do the show out there on Wednesday, June 5th. And we think that you should be a part of it, too.
You should join us because you never know what I'm going to do next on a golf course. Most of the time, it's actually amusing. So I'm told.
Wow. All right. Tomorrow, plenty to talk about, which we will once again, including John Schaefer, the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs.